Shalom. Welcome to Parsha Perusal. This is Pastor Sam from Northern California. It's good to have all of you here today. And we are going to have a really neat time today. We're going to be looking at Akev. That's the Parsha for this week. That's the Torah portion. And it's found in Deuteronomy 7, verse 12 through 11, 25. We're not going to look at all of that today. We're just going to look at a portion of that. I also have a special guest with us today, all the way from Austria, and his name is Micah Mann.
Hi, everybody.
So it's great to have Micah and his family. They're actually here for the weekend joining us, and we've just had a great time together already, fellowshipping. Let's go ahead and pray before we look at this passage today. Avinu, Malkenu, our Father, our King, we are so grateful and thankful to you for everything that you have done for us, for the way that you work in our lives all the time. We're thankful for your Torah, for your word, and what we can learn from the examples of those who you worked with, Moses and the children of Israel and the different prophets, Lord, that you worked in their life, and as they responded in faith, and sometimes as they made mistakes, we can learn from all of that. So we ask that you will give us understanding as we look at this passage of scripture today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're looking today at Deuteronomy 7, 12 through 21. That's the part we're gonna look at of this Torah portion. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you, Micah, maybe read like the first verse or so, and then we can talk a little bit about it.
Sure. Yeah. So we're in Deuteronomy 7, 12.
Right.
Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers.
All right. Anything that really sticks out to you in that?
Yeah, actually. What sticks out to me is the because you listen to these judgments. It's particularly interesting to me that right from the get-go here, there's a reason. It's because you are who you are. It's because you do what you do that God's promises will be promised, that they get to profit from his promises.
There's a conditional aspect of this.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's good. The Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. This is a part of the covenant that is conditional. The Mosaic covenant was conditional. We know the Abrahamic covenant was not conditional. It was, in a sense, because it was because of Abraham's faith and his trust in the Lord. But once God made the covenant with him, it wasn't conditional anymore. It was
his.
Gonna happen. That's right. But the Mosaic law was conditional. Why do you think God had the Mosaic law was conditional?
You know, I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
And I can't say exactly how or why God formulated it this way. But I can imagine. I can tell you what I imagine.
Well, yeah, none of us really know the mind of God. You know, if we did, well. Yeah.
But I imagine it's because the people needed that understanding. They needed reason. They needed some way to say, yes, I'm a part of this. Hmm. I'm in this covenant.
That's good.
And so rather than it, I don't see it so much as God being like, if you don't do this, then you're out. Yeah. It's more like you can do this and know that you have my blessing, that you are in the covenant, and that we have that covenant together.
Okay.
So I think it's something that the people can receive and know and know, not just in their hearts, but go, yes, this is us. This is who we are.
Okay. No, that's good. That would be kind of discouraging, though, if you break one of these commandments.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, because with the Torah, with this covenant, there's not a lot of room for mistakes. There is a way that God made it so they could restore relationship at that time, and that was through sacrifice and offering, because clearly we are not capable of keeping God's Torah, his law, perfectly. We do break it. But I like your description of it, because it really points to the positive aspect of this and not the negative, which so many times people are.
That's what I'm looking for, because it's really easy to be like, oh, this is unfortunate.
Right, right.
I don't fall into this category. However, it does say right here in verse 12 that it's the covenant and the mercy.
Yeah.
And I if I think about what mercy is, well, I am assuming that God's version of mercy is better than even our version of mercy.
Yeah. I would hope so.
So I like to make place for that.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's very good. I will go ahead and read the next verse, and we'll kind of just trade off. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. So this is Moses basically saying about God, that God would love them. God will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. So I just look at this, and this is the result. This is the positive consequences, I guess, of obedience. It affects everything. You know, when we are obedient, when we do what God has told us to do, it affects not only the spiritual, but the physical. Mm-hmm. Every aspect of our life is blessed. Now, it doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen, but overall, we see a blessing as we are obedient. And that's what I see here. Is God's like, I'll just pour out blessing upon you. You know, if you're keeping your part of the covenant, you're going to get blessing after blessing after blessing.
Yeah.
You know? And in this particular part that we're going to be looking at, it doesn't actually talk about the cursing. It's all about the blessing.
Let's stick to this part.
Yeah, we like this. So do you want to read the next part, or do you have something to say on this too?
Well, you know, when I read stuff like this, I think, you know, this is a weird blessing. I don't need my grain or my new wine or my oil. But
you need somebody's grain, wine, and oil to be blessed if you're going to enjoy it.
So. Absolutely. But it makes me think about who these people are, where they are, and what their actual needs are.
Yeah.
And for them being really blessed, these are probably some of their immediate needs here.
Absolutely.
Like they need their children to live. That is true. They need their flocks to prosper, and they need their cattle to make it. And so I feel like God is saying, like, these things, these immediate needs that you have, I'm going to take care of all that.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think you are a little closer to this probably even than we are, knowing a little bit about the culture in Europe and Austria where you live. Many times you don't buy for the whole week. You may buy for a day or the next day.
Right.
And you need, you know, the grain needs to be available and all this stuff has to be there, because if you miss a day, let's say it wasn't, you know, you don't get fed. You know?
Right.
So it is a little closer in some ways, but yeah.
Yeah, but I have to say, I really like big American refrigerators. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and all the choices we have when we walk into our store just is overwhelming. So sometimes way too overwhelming. You want to read the next part?
Yeah, this verse, again, I mean, through all of this, but I would say really specifically in this verse, it's good to remember who this is being addressed to.
Mm.
And so here it is, verse 14, you shall be blessed above all peoples. Who are these people? Who were they?
Yeah.
You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall be a male and female. There shall not be a male or female barren among you, or among your livestock.
Mm.
And I think it's so important. I mean, it's so significant that God is saying you shall be blessed above all peoples because these are slaves.
Mm, that's good. Yeah. They are slaves, but they are slaves that God chose out of all the peoples and freed.
Yeah.
So they're free now, but yeah, they were the lowest, you could say. In fact, God even says that, I think, later on in Deuteronomy. He says it through Moses. He says, I didn't pick you because you were the best or the most wonderful or any of those things. In fact, you were the least among people.
Yeah.
You know, and it just shows God's incredible way of choosing things that isn't like humans. You know?
Yeah, that is his personality and subsequently the personality of our Messiah.
And also about his glory.
Yeah.
You know, all this is really about God's glory. You know, he deserves all praise and all glory. And, you know, when we recognize that and when we worship him, when we're obedient to him, when we love him, he pours out his blessing.
Yeah.
But that's about his glory. That's not for us to go, hey, we're so great.
Yeah, right.
No, our God is so great. Look at what he's done. This is so awesome, you know.
Yeah, he didn't bless all the best people in the world.
No. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Wow.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we look at this today, especially in the time of COVID and other things going on. And, you know, part of the problem I think that I see in the church sometimes is they'll read something like this. And they'll apply it directly to themselves, you know, the church, you know, and claim this. And, you know, we really have to look at this in context.
For sure.
You know,
for sure.
You know, the church today does not replace the people of Israel of this time, you know, or the people of Israel in general. The reason I think these were things that God was saying absolutely true, obviously, because it's God saying it. But, you know, there is sickness that you're going to have in the world today, even as believers. We get sick sometimes. Some of the best people I know have gotten sick with COVID. I mean, in the sense of, you know, I don't know their hearts, but these are righteous people. These are godly people, you know. So, you know, this obviously is not something that I think we can take this verse, and I know name it and claim it kind of types may take this and go, you know.
Great, we're going to curse all our enemies with this.
Yeah, and you're only sick because you're obviously sinful, you know.
Yeah, or your faith isn't strong, not as strong as mine.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
So that's not at all what this is saying. This is just part of that blessing that God is saying. In a general sense, the group of Israel will be blessed in these ways. You know, because there will be individuals, obviously, that will from time to time have issues and problems and stuff. But overall, you know.
So, Sam, how do you think the people are receiving that verse right there when they receive this as part of the covenant here, as part of what God's promises to them, that all of the, what is it, the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, that he will lay them on those who hate you. How do you think they respond to that?
Yeah, it's a good question.
And I'm asking because I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I don't know, obviously, because I wasn't there when this was said, but I know kind of what you're saying. I think that having seen those diseases that happened to those who hated them in Egypt or those who were opposing them in Egypt, the last thing you would want is what happened to them. Whatever caused the death of the firstborn, the boils, all, you know, all that stuff. I mean, we're talking the plagues, basically. They saw these plagues and they were protected from them.
Yeah.
And yet that final plague, the death of the firstborn, they were only protected if the blood of the lamb was
right
there. So I think that the people here are probably breathing a big sigh of relief on one hand to go, wow, you know, if we do this, we don't have to go through this ever, mm-hmm. you know, because they saw it. But also I think it is hope too, to say we have protection, you know, we are protected. You know, we may not have a fighting force, but we have God, you know,
yeah.
And if there are people out to hate us and kill us, he will fight for us.
Yeah.
You know, right here, he says, I won't visit it on you, but I'll visit it on your enemies.
Yeah. I feel like it must just be a given that these terrible things happen.
Yes.
Like, it's just going to happen, but it's not going to happen to you.
That's right. That's hope.
Yeah.
That's hope that God is giving them here. You know, while we're at that, how does this apply to us as believers today, this particular concept you just talked about, and how does it not apply? What are some of the aspects that you would say?
Well, define the concept. I mean, you mean the concept? Yeah, define the concept.
Well, the last thing we just talked about sickness, afflicting.
That's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I think you said it really well, that it's hope, that mm-hmm. God gives us hope. And it isn't hope that these things will never touch us, but it is hope that God's in control mm-hmm. and that we can trust God
right.
in whatever it is that he sees fit to bring our way. And I believe that he is a good God.
Amen.
And so our hope is not that we're going to be healthy all the time to the end mm-hmm. of our days, but that our hope is in a God who's trustworthy
right.
and is ready to not only to fulfill the things he's promised, but to love us all the way through it.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of hope that I want to live in, not in a hope that that is, well, besides largely unrealistic,
right.
not a hope that everything's gonna go my way.
Right. I you know, I had a thought as you were talking, and I really liked what you said. Also, I had the thought, though, that this audience did not have the understanding or the hope of the resurrection like we do today. And so
right.
their hope at the time was in God protecting them, keeping them from these diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But that concept really had not really been really played out of a resurrection.
Right.
And part of our faith and our hope, our expectation today as believers, is this body is not all there is.
Right.
You know?
Oh, thank God.
Right. So I look at this and I go, this, for us to get, you know, if the Lord said this to us, that would be great. It would be wonderful, but it's not necessary today to get this kind of promise.
Right.
Because our hope goes beyond this life and beyond this body, and we don't I'm sure you understand what I'm saying there.
I do.
So that's a concept. I think if we look at this in the right context, we realize that since Messiah, there's another whole hope that is so much greater and so much stronger.
Yeah.
And that's actually talked about in Hebrews, you know, where it says, you know, they came to a mountain smoking and on fire, and, you know, but we come to this eternal, you know, something that goes on, the eternal Jerusalem, you know.
Yeah.
The promise we have and the covenant we have even is much greater, because the covenant is based in the work of our Messiah, Yeshua.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what a lot of Christians don't understand is that when the Hebrews all stood at Mount Sinai, there's a Jewish concept that says every Jew actually stood at Mount Sinai spiritually. Every
okay.
Jew. Right. The descendants after them all stood there at Mount Sinai. In other words, they were represented by the ones who were there and the ones who said, we will do everything you ask. You know, because this is part of that aspect where God is saying, this is what I'm requiring. And they said, yeah, we will do it. We will do it. And so that concept, though, if you think about it, Jesus did do it.
Yeah.
Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, actually, in that sense, was standing there with his descendants. But he is the one who did accomplish and did it. And he did it on our behalf, on behalf of the whole world and on behalf of all of his people. He fulfilled this covenant that was being talked about here.
Yeah.
He fulfilled that, and he gave us a covenant that is everlasting because it's based on his work, not on our ability to keep this.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Good. It's exciting. You know?
It's what everybody needed.
Absolutely, because we couldn't do this.
Yes,
you
right.
know? And we're not reading the curses. We don't want to, you know. But we know they're bad. They're really bad. I don't know which word we got. It. I think it's your turn.
We're at 16. It gets even wilder here. And you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I have a hard time with getting on board with killing people. It's a tough one, and it comes up in these Moses books quite a bit. So, I confess I struggle with verses like this. But again, this is not speaking directly to me. This is speaking to people that have a vastly different experience than I have had.
Yes.
And know God in a very different way than I do. And so I try to go, okay, all right, here I am, you know, wandering around in the desert. I've been a slave forever, and I have come from no hope to suddenly the creator of the universe taking interest in me.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, I read this, and if it's okay to just skip right to the end here about nor shall you serve their gods. I feel like that, to me, that's still super important.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is very, what's the word? Current.
Yeah.
That's something that we should all have written on our hearts.
Yeah.
That we will not serve other gods.
Uh-huh.
For that will be a snare to you. I find it interesting that God already lays out, like, this is going to be your main issue here.
Right.
I mean, he's not saying that anything else here is the issue. This is the issue.
Right.
And what a great cheat sheet for life.
Right.
Is just don't do that. Don't go serve the other gods. You're mine. Don't serve them.
I'm actually going to lunge into this and backtrack a little bit to the other part.
What, the destroying the people's
yes,
part?
Yes, the destroying the people's
part.
Please
do, because I can't.
It's okay. No, it's good. And the reason I want to is because while this is, yes, overall, the experience, there were exceptions. And there were very big exceptions to this. And one of them was Rahab. You know, being a harlot that was not at all, she wasn't a part of Israel, but her allegiance to and joining with Israel saved her and her whole family. A lot of people forget it was her whole family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all of a sudden out of the blue, God saved somebody who he told them to completely destroy.
Kill everybody. Yeah.
Right. Later on, Ruth, the Moabitess, that she was never supposed to be a part of Israel. She was like, her people should have never been included with Israel. That was one of the things, because they were descendants of Lot. And yet God invites her to be a part. Well, she chooses, but also he allows that. And actually, both of them part of the line of Yeshua, the Messiah. So you could see God's heart already in these things that are brought out. He doesn't hate the Gentiles. He doesn't hate those people. He doesn't want them all to die. But in this particular case, there's that understanding, if you let them live with you, they will corrupt you.
Yeah.
You know, and you can, that's not something you should do. Now, they still did it, though. They didn't kill everybody. But the other part of that, that I think we really many times overlook is, one thing, I believe God is very fair, and I believe God is very good and very loving. He is just as well. And so we may ask, how is this justice, though, to go in and just kill these people and stuff? I've thought about that quite a bit. There's several things that I thought about. One thing that was brought out is Israel were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Okay? The Canaanites had godly men when Abraham left, or when Abraham was in Canaan, mm-hmm. and Jacob basically left and went to Egypt, there were godly men in Canaan that they could have listened to, but they chose not to. There were priests of the Most High God living in Canaan. Okay? I've heard this said before, and I think it bears some thinking about, that God gave the Canaanites 400 years to repent before he sent Israel in to destroy them. So it wasn't just a go in and kill these innocent people.
Right.
It was people who had become so evil, so corrupt. I mean, we've heard some of the Canaanite gods that they worshiped. They burned their own children to Moloch. You know?
I totally embrace that God is just. And so that's what keeps me looking at this and searching through these things, because I know that God is just and has a much better sense of justice than I do.
Right.
So it would be ridiculous to be like, whoa, God, you went a little far there.
Right.
Like, that's not really my place.
Dangerous too.
Yeah. So, and I think it's a really common stance, unfortunately, that it's like, you know what? Let's shove that aside, and we're just going to cherry pick these couple things here that still work today because they're still relevant. And I think that's folly. But that's not to say that I don't struggle working through this, because I am who I am, living in the year that I am in.
Right.
But when I think about God's justice, I think about, well, you said that God is fair, and I understand what you're saying, but I also, in some sense, disagree with that, because sometimes I feel like actually what's fair is to wipe out mankind. That would be fair.
Which he did once.
And I think what we live in is an incredible advantage.
Yes.
That is unfair. Because we've got Jesus. And I know this might be semantics here, but when I think about what God has done for me personally, I can't call that fair.
Right.
But I could call it awesome.
Yes. So. Yes. Well, but fairness in that sense still holds, because I'm talking fair from God's standpoint, not from man's standpoint.
Yeah. Okay.
And so God looks at what he has done through Jesus, and he looks at this and he says, this is fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, actually, he says, this is great. This is awesome. What he's accomplished through. But that's the other aspect that we don't talk about in our era today. The time of grace, dispensation, if you, is hell. Okay. That's another thing that many times people look at this and they go, well, this isn't fair. And then they go, well, hell isn't fair. And it's like, well, wait a second. We live in a time where God is not judging like he did here. He's not necessarily, at least through our knowledge, what we see, but he's definitely not telling us to go, wipe out the land, anybody who doesn't agree with, you know, we better not do that. You know, in fact, quite the opposite. He tells us not to do that in the New Testament. Now, we are not to have that attitude.
Go love your enemies.
That's right. So, but hell is basically what happens when today people reject that absolutely awesome free gift.
Yeah.
And it's not because God's punishing them necessarily. It's their choice,
right,
to reject the goodness that God has given, the good thing that God has offered, the free gift of salvation.
Yeah.
And I think that this kind of underlies that in a sense, because I don't believe all these people necessarily who got killed are in hell. And here's why. I believe that, I personally believe this, I believe everyone before Jesus was given an opportunity.
Okay.
To receive the gospel at some point. I just...
Everyone before Jesus was given the opportunity to receive the gospel.
Yeah, there's a passage that actually talks about that.
Okay.
Where it says he went into the lower parts and he preached and led captivity captive. You know, there's a lot of different explanations, very theological stuff. But it basically, I believe, is saying that those who never heard before Jesus came were given an opportunity. They're not lost for all eternity. They have an opportunity, you know, accept or reject. I don't know how that all works out.
Yeah, well,
but that goes back to God's...
God's got a different timeline than we do.
That's right. So... No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's just how I interpret some scriptures. I'm not dogmatic
about it.
I
like it.
I'm not dogmatic about it, definitely. But you also have situations where you have truly innocent people. What happened to them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are people who don't have the concept. They could never pray a sinner's prayer because they don't understand, you know, mentally handicapped, you know, people who, whatever reason, mm-hmm. they can't do that. So do they all go to hell because they can't, you know? Well, I don't see that. I don't see that happening, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that's hard to, I think, fully, I don't think we can reason it all out before we are with the Lord.
Yeah. But we can trust that we have a just God.
That's right.
And he's going to take care of it way better than we would ever take care of it.
Amen.
That's what I believe.
Amen. I'm going to say let's stop there because I think we've really done a good... This has gone on for a good while and it's good.
True.
No, it's awesome. I mean, we could pick this up at another time.
Oh, man, I had a question for you, though.
Well, let's go forward.
Well, I mean, we could skip over some stuff here.
Yeah.
But... all the way down to verse 20. Chapter 7, verse 20.
Yeah.
Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. What's this hornet?
I don't know.
And we'll end there.
Thanks. Thank you very much. No. You asked the question. I'm going to at least try. No, I mean, if you look at the context of that, until those who are left who hide themselves from you are destroyed. So I'm assuming this is talking, if I look a little higher, that when they actually go into Canaan, they're going to be, you know, there's going to be those that are going to try to evade them.
Okay.
And
yeah,
God's going to hunt them down, you know, if they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing, so that you don't have this root of opposition there in the land.
Okay.
But they didn't do everything they were supposed to do.
Right.
So, unfortunately, that root of opposition remained. And because of that, Israel actually later on got into some really bad sin and got judged by God multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, if you want a better ending, then we don't know what this hornet is. And whatever I was joking about. The portion that you gave me to read here, which just goes to one more verse. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you.
Amen.
I mean, what a fantastic, I mean, I don't know how you chose just this chunk, but I feel like that's a really good end here is that, I mean, God is talking about this covenant that he's willing to extend to all of these people. And he's saying, I'm not going to abandon you.
Right.
Like, this is my promise. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm an awesome God.
Remember who I am. When you go in, remember who I am.
Yeah.
Because don't be afraid of them.
Yeah. And he doesn't tell everybody to remain victims of the slavery they've come out of.
Yes.
He's armed them with himself.
That's right.
And he is not letting them go.
And that, I believe, can be directly applied to us today as well as believers.
Yeah.
Those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. I have, you know, the scripture verse, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah.
And man, today there is so much need for us to have power, love, and of a sound mind. And that's what he's given us.
Yeah.
You know? So we also don't have to fear our enemies, whether they be spiritual or physical or whatever they may be, because we have that same great and awesome God among us.
Yeah. You know? So good.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We could keep talking about this all day. Yeah. That would be a really long podcast. But this has been really good. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Maybe you just tell, just because all I did was introduce you and Saber from Austria, can you just say really quick who you are? And what
sure.
You guys are
well,
doing?
I'm actually from California, but have lived for the past
Sorry, yeah.
10 years in Austria doing various forms of ministry, and been there with my wife and my two kids, who have now spent most of their lives there in Austria. And and we've done a lot of different things. We like living in community with other people. Just moved to a new town called Gallneukirchen in Upper Austria, and we'll be working there alongside a church that has a really diverse group of people in there.
Uh-huh.
And we're excited about what God's going to do in that place. Yeah, if you guys would be praying for us, that would be great. Again, my name is Micah Mann, and if you are coming through Austria, look us up. There's one church there called Christengemeinde. Well, the website is Christengemeinde GNK, and maybe we can put that somewhere, and you can come and visit us.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, and thank you all for listening, and let's go ahead and close. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thanks again. Shalom. Have a great week. And may the Lord bless you.